Chapter 25, Anatomy of the Digestive System, Chapter Summary. Here's a tip. Listen to this summary after reading the chapter to help you reinforce the key concepts. Before class or your next test, you can also use the summary as a quick review. Organization of the Digestive System. The main organs of the digestive system form the GI tract that extends through the abdominopelvic cavity. Ingested food material passing through the lumen of the GI tract is outside the internal environment of the body. The GI tract is made of four tissue layers: mucosa, submucosa, muscularis, and serosa. The layers of the GI tract have various modifications to enable them to perform various functions. Mouth. The structure of the oral cavity or buccal cavity consists of the lips, cheeks, palates, and tongue. The lips are covered externally by skin and internally by mucous membrane. The junction between the skin and mucous membrane is highly sensitive. When the lips are closed, the line of contact is the oral fissure. The cheeks are the lateral boundaries of the oral cavity, continuous with the lips and lined by mucous membrane. They are formed in large part by the buccinator muscle covered by adipose tissue and contain mucus-secreting glands. The hard palate consists of portions of four bones, two maxillae and two palatines. The soft palate forms the partition between the mouth and nasopharynx and is made of muscle arranged in an arch. Suspended from the midpoint of the posterior border of the arch is the uvula. The tongue is a solid mass of skeletal muscle covered by a mucous membrane and is extremely maneuverable. The tongue has three parts: root, tip, and body. Papillae cover the tongue and are located on the dorsal and lateral surfaces of the tongue. The lingual frenulum anchors the tongue to the floor of the mouth. The intrinsic muscles are important for speech and mastication, while the extrinsic muscles are important for deglutition and speech. Salivary glands are three main pairs of compound tubuloalveolar glands that secrete approximately 1 liter of saliva each day. The buccal glands contribute less than 5% of the total salivary volume, but provide for hygiene and comfort of oral tissues. Parotid glands are the largest of the paired salivary glands, producing watery saliva containing enzymes. Submandibular glands are compound glands that contain enzyme and mucus-producing elements. Sublingual glands are the smallest of the salivary glands, which produce a mucus type of saliva. Smaller salivary glands also secrete saliva. The teeth are the organs of mastication. A typical tooth includes a crown, neck, root, and outer shell. The crown is the exposed portion of a tooth covered by enamel. It is ideally suited to withstand abrasion during mastication. The neck of the tooth is the narrow portion that joins the crown to the root and is surrounded by gingivae. The root fits into the socket of the alveolar process and is suspended by a fibrous periodontal membrane. The outer shell contains two additional tissues, dentin and cementum. Dentin makes up the greatest portion of the tooth shell. At the crown, it is covered by enamel, and at the neck and root, dentin is covered by cementum. The pulp cavity is located in dentin, contains connective tissue, blood, lymphatic vessels, and sensory nerves. There are two types of teeth: deciduous teeth, or baby teeth, of which there are 20 that appear early in life, and permanent teeth, of which there are 32 that replace the deciduous teeth during childhood. Pharynx. The pharynx is the tube through which a food bolus passes when moved from the mouth to the esophagus by the process of deglutition. Esophagus. The esophagus is the tube that extends from the pharynx to the stomach and is the first segment of the digestive tube. It is lined with stratified squamous epithelium. Stomach. The size of the stomach varies according to factors such as gender and amount of distension. When no food is in the stomach, it is about the size of a large sausage. In adults, its capacity ranges from 1 to 1.5 liters. The location of the stomach is in the upper part of the abdominal cavity, under the liver and diaphragm. The stomach is divided into four segments: the cardia, which is a collar-like region at the junction with the esophagus; the fundus, an enlarged portion to the left and above the opening of the esophagus into the stomach; the body, the central portion of the stomach; the pylorus, the lower part of the stomach. The stomach is curved, where the lesser curvature is the upper right curve of the stomach, and the greater curvature is the lower left curve of the stomach. Sphincter muscles are circular fibers arranged so that there is an opening in the center when relaxed and no opening when contracted. The lower esophageal sphincter, or cardiac sphincter, controls the opening of the esophagus into the stomach. The pyloric sphincter controls the outlet of the pyloric portion of the stomach into the duodenum. In the stomach wall, the epithelial lining of the gastric mucosa has rugae marked by gastric pits. Gastric glands that secrete most of the gastric juice can be found below the level of the pits. The chief cells are secretory cells found in the gastric glands, which secrete the enzyme of gastric juice. The parietal cells are secretory cells found in the gastric glands, which secrete hydrochloric acid and are thought to produce the intrinsic factor needed for vitamin B12 absorption. Endocrine cells secrete gastrin and ghrelin. The gastric muscularis is a thick layer of muscle with three distinct sublayers of smooth muscle tissue arranged in a crisscrossing pattern. This pattern allows the stomach to contract strongly at many angles. The stomach serves as the reservoir for food until it is partially digested and moved further along the GI tract. It also secretes gastric juice to aid in digestion of food. The stomach breaks food into small particles and mixes them with gastric juice, secretes intrinsic factor, and produces gastrin and ghrelin. However, the stomach has limited absorption. Finally, the stomach helps to protect the body from pathogenic bacteria swallowed with food. Small intestine. The small intestine is a tube approximately 2.5 centimeters in diameter and 6 meters in length that consists of coiled loops filling most of the abdominal cavity. The small intestine is divided into three sections. The duodenum, which is the uppermost division that is approximately 25 centimeters long and shaped roughly like the letter C, the jejunum, which is approximately 2.5 meters long, and the ileum, which is approximately 3.5 meters long. The wall of the small intestine has a lining consisting of plaquae covered with villi. The villi are an important modification of the mucosal layer. Each villus contains an arterial, venule, and lacteal vessel. Villi are covered by a brush border made up of 1,700 ultrafine microvilli per cell. Villi and microvilli increase the surface area of the small intestine hundreds of times. Crypts are located between villi and contain stem cells from which other cell types are produced, which then migrate upward to cover the villi, where they eventually slough off. Large intestine. The large intestine has an average diameter of 6 centimeters and a length of approximately 1.5 to 1.8 meters. The large intestine is divided into the cecum and colon. The cecum is the first 5 to 8 centimeters of the large intestine and is a blind pouch located in the lower right quadrant of the abdomen. The colon is further divided into various segments. The ascending colon is in a vertical position on the right side of the abdomen, where the ileocecal valve prevents material from passing from the large intestine into the ileum. The transverse colon passes horizontally across the abdomen, above the small intestine, and extends from the hepatic flexure to the splenic flexure. The descending colon is in a vertical position on the left side of the abdomen. The sigmoid colon joins the descending colon to the rectum. The rectum is the last 17 to 20 centimeters, 7 to 8 inches, of the intestinal tube, where the terminal inch is the anal canal with the opening called the anus. The wall of the large intestine contains intestinal mucus glands, which produce lubricating mucus that coats feces as they are formed. It is also marked by an uneven distribution of fibers in the muscle coat. Vermiform appendix. The vermiform appendix is an accessory organ of the digestive system. It is 8 to 10 centimeters in length and communicates with the cecum. Peritoneum. The peritoneum is a large, continuous sheet of serous membrane. Many organs are covered with visceral peritoneum. Parietal peritoneum lines the wall of the abdominopelvic cavity. The extraperitoneal space is outside the parietal layer of the peritoneum. Retroperitoneal identifies the extraperitoneal space along the posterior and bottom of the abdominopelvic cavity. The mesentery is a projection of the parietal peritoneum. It allows the free movement of each coil of the intestine and helps prevent strangulation of the long tube. The transverse mesocolon is an extension of the peritoneum that supports the transverse colon. Liver. The liver is the largest gland in the body, weighing approximately 1.5 kilograms. It lies under the diaphragm and occupies most of the right hypochondrium and part of the epigastrium. The liver has two lobes, which are separated by the falciform ligament. The left lobe forms about 1/6 of the liver, while the larger right lobe forms about 5/6 of the liver and divides into the right lobe proper, caudate lobe, and quadrate lobe. Hepatic lobules, the anatomical units of the liver, contain a small branch of the hepatic vein, which extends through the center of each lobule. Small bile ducts form right and left hepatic ducts. The right and left hepatic ducts immediately join to form one hepatic duct. The hepatic duct merges with the cystic duct to form the common bile duct, which opens into the duodenum. The liver has a number of functions, including detoxification, bile secretion, metabolism, storage, and protein production. Liver cells can change some ingested substances and substances formed in the intestines that are toxic to non-toxic substances. Bile salts are formed in the liver from cholesterol and are the most essential part of bile. Liver cells secrete approximately 1 pint of bile per day. Liver metabolism carries out numerous important steps in metabolizing proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. The liver can also store substances such as iron and some vitamins, as well as produce important plasma proteins. Gallbladder. The gallbladder is a pear-shaped sac 7 to 10 centimeters long and 3 centimeters wide at its broadest point. It can hold 30 to 50 milliliters of bile and lies on the undersurface of the liver. The gallbladder wall contains serous, muscular, and mucus layers, where the mucosal lining has rugae. The role of the gallbladder is to store bile, concentrate it 5-fold to 10-fold, then eject the concentrated bile into the duodenum. Gallstones are often made of cholesterol and can form when bile is concentrated. Pancreas. The pancreas is a grayish-pink-colored gland 12 to 15 centimeters long, weighing approximately 60 grams. It runs from the duodenum behind the stomach to the spleen. The pancreas is composed of endocrine and exocrine glandular tissue. The exocrine portion, with an acinar arrangement, makes up the majority of the pancreas. Tiny ducts unite to form the main pancreatic duct, which empties into the duodenum. The endocrine portions, called pancreatic islets, are embedded between the exocrine units and constitute only 2% of the total mass of the pancreas. They consist of alpha cells and beta cells and pass their secretions into capillaries. The pancreas secretes digestive enzymes from acinar units, insulin from beta cells, and glucagon from alpha cells. Cycle of life, digestive system. Changes in the function and structure of the digestive system are age-related. These changes result in diseases or pathological conditions and may occur in any segment of the intestinal tract. Changes involve accessory organs such as teeth, salivary glands, liver, gallbladder, and pancreas. Infants have immature intestinal mucosa. Intact proteins can pass through epithelial cells lining the tract and trigger an allergic response. Lactose intolerance affects infants who lack the enzyme lactase. During childhood, mumps is common. Appendicitis is more common in adolescence and then decreases with advancing age. Ulcers and gallbladder disease are common in middle age. During old age, a decrease in digestive fluids, a slowing of peristalsis, and reduced physical activity occur, leading to constipation and diverticulosis.